The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Every woman knows the feeling. That quick glance over your shoulder in a parking lot. The moment you grip your keys a little tighter walking home. That's exactly why She's Birdie created Birdie 3.0. A personal safety alarm designed by women, for women. Just pull the pin and Birdie sounds a loud, attention-grabbing siren. We are talking as loud as a jet engine at 100 feet to help deter danger and alert people nearby. And the new Birdie 3.0 is even better. It's rechargeable, includes a built-in flashlight, and features an on and off switch, so it activates only when you want it to. No embarrassing false alarms. It's small, non-violent, travel safe, and easy to clip to your keys, bag, or backpack, so it's always within reach. It's also super cute and comes in tons of colors to match basically any outfit, so you actually want to have it on you, because everyone deserves to feel safer. Learn more and get your Birdie 3.0 today at cheesebirdie.com.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. This is Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good morning, brother.
Man, good morning. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing really good. I'm a little sleepy-eyed, and I'm not one of these people that likes to talk about this kind of thing, but I worked out yesterday for the first time in months.
What?
And,
Are you going to turn into one of those guys?
I did these lunge things, and it was really difficult for me to sit down at in the Podastery Studios today. So I'm not going to be one of these people that talks about it all the time.
Right,
but
right.
I'm going to talk about it today.
Oh man, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, I mean, if you've earned the burn, you got to kind of brag about it.
Well,
just
one time. Just this. Just give me this one.
Fair enough.
Just give me this one. What's going on with you, man?
Man, not a whole lot. The only time I've ever done lunges was right before I went skiing for the first time, because they say that because of you get in the ski position.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, in order to prepare for it, that you need to kind of do the lunges. And so I remember,
I hear that's really difficult on your lower body. Like you really do feel worked out afterwards.
I did fine, although I did the lunges for a couple weeks ahead of time, and for the most part I was good. Like day of, I was a little rough, but I recovered.
That's because you're a physical specimen, though. I mean, you're just like
some kind of specimen,
like the statue. You are a specimen. Yes,
that's right. That's right. All right, so man, I'm excited. We're talking Pipe Culture Volume 2.
Yeah, this is such a great opportunity to just engage with our listeners again, and it was so cool to see how many folks actually, just got with us on this and just, really came out of the box with some of their old pipe stories and why they got involved in pipe smoking, and it was great just to read a lot of your feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. So, just kind of taking a step back and reminding you, pipe culture is, several weeks ago, and even far before that, we started kind of asking this question, what is pipe culture, and how is pipe culture different from pop culture? Where are the similarities? Where are the differences? Is there even a thing called pipe? Is pipe culture even a thing? And so we began exploring that in our episode, Pipe Culture Volume 1. So if you haven't listened to that, go back and I'd say listen to that first.
Yeah.
Because today we're diving into the concept of origins. Now, ultimately, we believe, and we're kind of testing this theory throughout the series, that there are a lot of similar threads that connect us as pipe smokers. For one thing, of course, we've got the pipe, so that's kind of the big thing
right.
that connects us all.
Right.
But beyond that, I think there are things that are kind of connected to that and kind of is this big connected tissue. It's the reason why I believe that in the age of the internet, so many of us are still connecting to one another because, not just because of the pipe, but because of things that go along with it.
Yeah.
There's things that we do while we smoke the pipe that are very similar throughout. So Taking that a step further, we're looking specifically today at origins. Now, I had a theory going into this that two of the main shared origins are going to be through family.
Right.
And then also through just the culture itself, wanting to kind of, you know,
engage
be part of
with
that.
It and be a part of it. Yeah.
One thing I was kind of surprised at is that there's actually a third tier that I want to talk about first, which is health. People actually come into the pipe for health reasons.
Something, we have gotten a lot of feedback about that, haven't we?
It's something that you wouldn't necessarily, you know, think of. You know, a lot of people, you know, when you think of healthy practices, pipe smoking isn't necessarily a thing that jumps in.
Right.
But we're not necessarily even just talking about physical health so much as mental health.
Right.
And even when we opened up the conversation in the beginning, we heard a lot of people saying, you know, I started smoking my pipe because I had a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
I had a stressful job. Me personally, when I first picked up the pipe, I was in the midst of a really stressful job.
Yeah. Boy, you really were.
Yeah.
And it's something about it that has that therapeutic kind of contemplative aspect to it. The pipe in our modern world is so important to me because it forces me to slow down.
Yeah.
And we say that all the time, but it forces you to sit there and be very deliberate and to focus. And I've said this before too, but for someone that's really ADD, boy, you're talking about awesome.
Yeah.
Because I get to sit there and really concentrate on, you know, getting my little embers lit and then maintaining it over time, you know, maintaining the heat of the bowl and all these things. And so it's just a really, it's a therapeutic process.
Yeah,
it is.
Absolutely. First email that I want to kind of touches on this a little bit comes to us by way of Wes Brown.
Boy, this was a great one.
Dude, he wrote us.
It was awesome.
It was a long email. He tells this great long story of just kind of his personal journey with his family, with his health issues, and then ultimately kind of how that ties into the pipe.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to read a little bit of an excerpt of this. You know, he comes from a background, a family of smokers. His dad actually specifically smoked a pipe. And you know, he really was, you know, he got into it for a short time, but kind of fell out of it a little bit. There wasn't really a community that he was connected to, and, you know, just fell away from it. And all that kind of started to change on his birthday, actually the day before his birthday.
It's really fascinating.
He was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, you know, happy birthday.
Well, yeah, and it sounded, just from the way he described it, I mean, that it kind of led him into a sense of, just, you know, it was a difficult season emotionally and mentally and all these things. He had a lot of stuff going on in his life. And, you know, what was so impressive about it with Wes is that he was actually able to make a lot of very specific changes in his life to kind of get on track. But, you know, one of the parts of that, and also a reward for working so hard, was kind of diving into the pipe community, diving into the pipe culture and using the tobaccos to kind of be a sense of accomplishment and, you know, also just a therapeutic process to get involved in. So it was really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to read this part from his email. He says, of course, he's talking about the things that he did. Of course, cut out the sugars and carbs.
Yeah.
I quit drinking, which I think may have been a huge factor since I was drinking too much too often.
Yeah.
No moderation. And I started working out 5 days a week. I was off one med within a month and another by year's end. I'm currently taking one pill for my diabetes, and I gave up a lot. I gave up one lifestyle, a bad one, for another. I'm down to 65 pounds from my heaviest, and I'm in the best health I've seen for years.
Isn't that incredible?
That's really awesome, dude. I do miss my beer, fine scotch, Irish whiskey, and bourbons, but I seem to have filled out the void with pipes and tobacco.
That's fantastic.
So, man, Wes, that's awesome, dude. Just bravo for you for really rising to the challenge in the midst of that struggle. That's awesome.
You know what's interesting, too, is he said the person that actually brought him to the pipe originally was his wife.
I know, I love that.
His wife brought him to the pipe, and that is so funny. We hear that occasionally, you know, wives gently buying their husband's pipes, you know, maybe if they're just a little tired of the Marlboros or the, you know, the Camels or whatever, like, honey, why don't you try this? You know, maybe you'll enjoy this and it'll be better. And then the story's kind of over. Kim, you know, when we had the owner of the Squire, Kim, a couple weeks ago, I guess, man, great opportunity. She actually mentioned, you know, the doctor telling her dad to get on a pipe.
Yeah, I thought about that as well.
Hard to breathe. He was smoking all these cigarettes and just terrible, you know, energy levels just because he couldn't get oxygen. And so the doctor said, do what I do, smoke a pipe. You know, and that speaks volumes about kind of where it's led people, not just coming from cigarettes, but, you know, Mrs. Reeves, that, of course, owned our store, Mr. Jim's wife, that passed away a couple years ago, And I used to love when she was talking to people about these pipes, particularly new pipe smokers. But she would constantly say, you know, pipe smokers live longer. And it's because of the relaxive, contemplative, meditative. She loved the meditative aspects
right.
of it. But, you know, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me.
We got another comment, too. This one actually comes from Reddit user Soth, who says, I needed something to take the edge off of my anxiety, but didn't want to smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
So I bought a church warden and never looked back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, awesome. Another one, too, just kind of a personal story. I'll just share this. A guy who's actually doing some work for me for Podastery right now.
Yeah.
And he's actually, we're looking at possibly launching a new show with him at the helm. He has just had the worst time with cigarettes, and he's really trying to quit. His wife has just recently quit, and he's just having a tough time. In fact, I had him in here. We were working on something together, and like the entire time, he was just sitting there like, I need a cigarette. I need a cigarette. I mean, like he was just shaking. He was angry. He just really wanted to go out.
Yeah.
And I had been talking to him like, look, not this time, dude. Like I've got a pipe collection. I've got my the pipe that I started with. Let's go out back. Let's first finish what we're working on. And then as a reward, go out back and I'll show you, kind of walk you through the process of smoking a pipe. And, you know, it causes him, for one thing, of course, it's obviously, you know, cheaper and all that good stuff.
Right.
But you can't just go out and light up a cigarette. There's a process. It's a slower thing.
Absolutely.
So you've got, it lowers your tobacco intake.
Right.
And it's much more enjoyable.
It's so enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's so enjoyable. Well, you get complexities of flavors, and there's such a world of tobaccos out there. I mean, I know some of these cigarettes taste different, but like, you know, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
The enjoyment level of the flavor is just incredible with it. I wanted to mention, can we talk about Jeff, a.k.a. You Are Why I Drink?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is his handle. Jeff, which we've heard from quite a bit on the show, and he's the Twitter handle, You Are Why I Drink. But, you know, he's talking about going through a really difficult season just with some family issues. And he went through a phase where he was kind of probably a little reflective, trying to work some stuff out mentally about where he was at, and grew a really big beard. And he saw a picture of this guy with a big beard one day, and he was smoking a pipe, and he was like, that's another thing, I'm gonna try smoking a pipe. And so he went down and bought him a pipe. And you know, it's interesting because as he's done that now, just as his life has changed, it's become a part of his rhythm, his routine. And he actually called us the other day at the shop. I got to speak with Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome. And he ordered some Cherokee from us and enjoyed it. And he actually went over to his dad's house and shared it with his dad.
Oh, that's great.
And found out his dad was a pipe smoker a while back. And so now he's even got his girlfriend smoking a pipe, which is funny. So a lot of times it comes along later in life like that, where it's just a part of kind of a, maybe not a midlife crisis, but, you know, an event where, you know, you're just, you feel like trying something different.
Yeah, and I love that with Jeff specifically, you know, that image of, you know, I saw a guy with a beard smoking a pipe. You know,
right.
And that gets kind of into that second layer, which is the culture itself kind of calls you into it.
Exactly.
You know, be it characters like Gandalf or Sherlock Holmes, or even just kind of the look or the aura,
man,
is kind of what I think
of. Manly
of.
Man.
Yeah, just, you know, someone who's dapper, intellectual.
Or strong woman. I want to make sure give some love to our female listeners.
I know we've got a lot of lady listeners.
We do.
Who've been reaching out to us lately. So we got to be better about that.
That's right. That's exactly right.
But yeah. So absolutely. So I love that. I want to also read one quick excerpt from his email.
Yeah.
Which I thought was just great. He says, "My girlfriend, who is into cigars, just recently purchased her first corncob pipe and had me teach her how to do pack, light, and smoke it. Sometimes on the weekends, we sit on the porch, enjoy a sweet smoke, and listen to old episodes of your show. Thank you again for all you do, and keep up the great work." So I just want to say to You Are Why I Drink's girlfriend, I guess we can call him Jeff.
Jeff, yeah, he said call him Jeff.
All right, so to Jeff's girlfriend, thank you for listening. We really appreciate
that. Yeah, if you've got any sisters, too, or any, like, cousins or anything that also like to smoke a pipe or cigar, like, man, I'm just saying, I'm Jackson's most eligible. Never mind.
No. Oh, my gosh. Don't hit on Jeff's girlfriend.
I'm telling her to send me a sister or something.
That's awesome. All right. I've always considered myself as having been born in the wrong era. Not in a hipster way, I swear. As such, I've always fancied smoking a pipe. It has always seemed a sort of classy and throwback to a much simpler time. It makes you take some time out of your day, and you get to enjoy the actual tobacco rather than tons of added chemicals.
Yeah.
I really... A very relaxing hobby indeed. That comes to us by BeavT8R over at Reddit, and you know, it's that same kind of thing, that kind of aura. There's something about wanting to be part of the culture that I was actually surprised that that's been so huge. I had a theory that was the case, and honestly, I thought it really had more to do with being influenced by the Holmes or the Gandalf or the Bilbo type characters that really pull you in.
Right.
But in fact, with a lot of people, it's just kind of wanting to be part of the culture that exists.
I think so.
And I think that's awesome.
Is that kind of how you got involved with Pipe Smoking Bow?
I think for me, it really was more about just needing a chance to kind of, you know, calm myself down and
slow down. Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, at the same time, I do think that just kind of the imagery of sitting down, because I was painting at the time.
Yeah.
And I liked the concept of being able to like smoke and paint at
the same time. Yeah.
Or maybe it might have been that, or maybe I had an image in my head of like me sitting out on the porch in the middle of a rain, like puffing on a pipe.
I just
liked that concept.
It's fantastic. We actually just got a tweet from Riley Paquette on Twitter. He says, my girlfriend okays my pipe, not because I smoke cigs, but because it forces me to relax. For a guy in the service, that's a rare thing. So thanks, Riley, for tweeting that in. I mean, I think that's a similar deal when we talked about that earlier, just, you know, this is someone that's under a lot of stress, obviously, being in the military, and it makes them calm down.
Yes, sir.
We got a great email, too, from Carl Maleft, and I just wanted to touch on it very quickly, but he said smoking to him is about connection. And I love this. It made me just that romantic part of me that, you know, kind of my geekisms that come out with the pipe stuff. Really, really love reading through Carl's email. But he talks about... you know, he didn't have a lot of relationship with his grandfather.
Yeah.
And actually, it wasn't that it was a bad relationship. It was that there was just no relationship. And what Carl says is that, you know, this is something with the pipe that he can actually engage with and find commonalities with his grandfather. So even though there wasn't a relationship, he still feels like it's a sense of relationship.
Yeah.
It's funny. I kind of compare it today to, you know, personally, like... You know, one thing I've always enjoyed is yard work and landscaping. Like, that's just my thing. And looking back on it, well, that's what Dad and I did all the time when I was a kid, man.
Awesome.
And I loved it. Like, that was, man, me and Dad, like, we got in the yard and got dirty and we're planting stuff. And that was great, you know, and it's a similar kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to dive into kind of that family relationship. But before we do that, there's one last one I wanted to cover with kind of the cultural.
Yeah, yeah.
Which comes to us from Reddit. It's Kopak115 who says, I'm a big reader and a lot of the books I enjoyed when I was younger featured pipe smoking. Sherlock Holmes, The Hobbit, Moby Dick. I always forget about Moby Dick.
Yeah.
Call me Ishmael. So one day when I was about 15 or 16, I decided to carve my own pipe and try it out. Mm-hmm. I used a random bit of branch that was in my garage for the bowl and a piece of bamboo for the stem. And I smoked some dried mixture of wild Indian tobacco and raspberry leaf. I've since graduated to a better pipe and real tobacco, but I will never forget these days of sneaking to the lot by my house for a quiet smoke when the weather was nice.
Dude, that raspberry leaf?
How crazy is that?
Dude, that's... Well, I mean, first of all, that was a real pipe because you made it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's awesome. But
we don't recommend smoking underage, nor do we endorse
No,
that.
Not a bit. Not a bit. Not a bit.
But yeah, so I'm sorry. I wanted to kind of touch on that, too, because, you know, he does talk about the pipe smoking heroes of fiction that kind of pulled him into that mm-hmm. mindset there. But yeah, no, so Carl, with his story of his grandfather, really loved that. Really loved the connection that we get. Probably the biggest thing that we heard from most people is, you know, a connection to a father, an uncle, a grandfather, a mother, you know, these type of a legacy within the family connections.
Right.
And, you know, it may have been that, much like Carl, it was more of a quiet connection.
Yeah.
Or it may have been more direct where, you know, it was something that, you know, you did with your dad, or your dad brought out his pipes or something of that nature.
That's exactly right.
We just celebrated Father's Day and you know, we got a lot of stories in from people who were talking about, you know, sitting down on the porch or going home and sitting down with dad and just spending some time smoking a pipe.
It's prolific. Yeah, it's incredible. And it's interesting because that's starting to trickle down through generations. We have a lot of folks that come into the Country Squire and they buy something for their older, you know, maybe a grandfather or parent that's in their, you know, maybe 80s or 90s, because they've just smoked a pipe that's been part of their rhythm. But what we're seeing now, it's interesting, is a kind of a younger tobacconist that's still, you know, getting used to just the whole, you know, process of engaging with people like this. what I see now is that you've got, you know, 40-year-old dads or maybe 45 or 50-year-old dads. And now they're children are coming in to get them stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's really interesting to me. I just love it. And you, what you're seeing is that kind of torch being passed down. And, you know, the child sees how much of a rhythm and a ritual and a blessing it is for their parents. So they want to, you know, of all things to get your pop on Father's Day. Like,
you gotta get him a pipe.
You gotta get him a pipe.
Absolutely.
I think that's awesome.
Sarah on 52 on Reddit says, second generation pipe smoker. My first pipe was one belonging to my father. Took it up in law school over 30 years ago. My housemates smoked pipes. We would sit around in the evenings chatting, smoking our pipes. Started with the Navy Flake, went to Orientals, and now to full English blends. So I love that, man. The generational thing too. You know, Pi Lawrence, who actually is kind of a cousin of Country Squire Radio. I like to think of him because, of course, you know, he worked on our pipe mic logo.
Yeah.
But Pi Lawrence is actually a fourth generation pipe smoker.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
I know, right?
He traces back to like Sir Walter Raleigh himself.
And I love that.
That's really cool.
This one comes, this one just, I don't know, this one just makes me happy. This comes from Wise Old Codger, who says, pipe was given to me by my pops to stave off hunger when working in the fields picking rocks. We had small amount of time to get the job done, so we used every scrap of light we had to clear rocks before Sue. We ate a breakfast before the sun and ate supper after we were done. The days were short, but sure seemed long. So there you go.
So lyric.
I just love that.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
But yeah, you know, so those are kind of the three tiers. You know, we got so many different comments and emails and everything, but we kind of, you know, picked those because I feel like those kind of spoke for the majority of what we heard.
Yeah.
Except for Wise Old Codger. That was pretty unique.
That was just beautiful.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the thing. I think that when we have that kind of connection, when we can sit down, you know, one of the things that we do when we sit down and with our friends, one of the things that naturally comes up is we talk about how we got into pipes or, you know, the concept of legacy comes up.
Yeah.
And I really, really like the idea that we do have kind of this shared history here.
Yeah.
So those three areas, you know, health, family, and just kind of the culture itself, the pipe aura.
Right.
I couldn't figure out what to call it.
That's
right. Know, something like that.
That's right.
That pulls you in. I think that's awesome. Now, that doesn't mean that that is definitive. There are things outside of that. One of our pastor friends, Pastor Diddy, actually wrote in, and I attribute this to God's providence, but that's because I'm a reformed guy. He says, I was on Facebook, and a local auction site had a pipe stand with a tobacco jar and two estate pipes.
Yeah, this was cool.
I was not a smoker, but had always said if I smoked, it would be a pipe, so this caught my eye. The reserve was 25, and no one was bidding, so I commented that this was too cool not to bid, so I put down 10 bucks, knowing that I would be outbid. Of course, he wasn't. He got it. And later on, he met the seller who says, you know, basically the seller was like, oh, now you're smoking a pipe. And
right.
He's like, yeah, because of you. And
because
he's like,
of you.
Well, don't blame me. And he's like, blame you. I want to thank you.
Here's a bear hug. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it's funny. I mean, he had just kind of had this interesting kind of fun image of pipes, you know, and he was like, well, I don't smoke, but if I ever did smoke, I would do it. And then, you know, just literally stumbled into it like you would a ditch. I mean, it's just great.
That's awesome. It's nice, too, in that situation because he gets a lot of his purchase done right out of the way.
That's right. It's all right there. Package deal.
Absolutely. And that's one thing, you know, the financial call is something that brings in a lot of, you know, existing smokers who don't necessarily smoke pipes.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it's also something that I use personally when I'm trying to convert, you know, people who are currently, like, big into cigarettes.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, it's healthier for you to smoke a pipe.
Right.
And it's so much cheaper.
It's incredibly cheap. I mean, once you buy a decent pipe,
exactly.
Which, I mean, you can buy a decent pipe for, you know, 40, 50 bucks. I mean, it, you know, if you're just getting started, man, tobacco's cheap. At our shop, 2 ounces for, you know, $7.99 or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
and you're
geez.
Good to go. And the thing
is, it lasts for that's several smokes worth.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You get whatever pipe you want to when you start off, and
right.
You know, I know a lot of people will go in and they really want to find that perfect pipe, and
right.
And then, you know, if that's it for you, then that's great.
That's right.
And then, you know, there's guys like us that like, okay, well, now I need a pipe for this and a pipe for that.
Exactly.
A pipe for that.
Ooh, that one's shiny. I need that one.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyways, that is our look at Pipe Culture Volume 2 Origins. We loved getting all of your emails and thoughts and feedback here.
Yeah.
These conversations I really enjoy because it's a chance to kind of almost feel a little scholarly, like we're doing a little bit of a research project,
yeah,
jumping into this world and hearing so many thoughts and experiences. And
yeah,
we just love that kind of community with you guys, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, it means the world. I want to mention one more thing, yeah, before we kind of segue. From Pappy Joey just tweeted, and this is something to think about with the family connection too, but he actually says he has given, and I, you know, you don't think of it much this way, but he has given his son's pipes that he's actually carved himself.
That's awesome.
And then bought them pipes. And so not only are you having, you know, younger generations trying to mimic, you know, their forebears, but like it, even older generations recognizing, man, this is something I love and is important to me. I want to gift this to my son. Like,
yeah,
I want to gift this to someone that I love.
It's an heirloom item. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's really neat. Yeah.
It's, you know, you think about kind of the estate pipes and, you know, a lot of times when you see those sales, you know, maybe it might be somebody getting out of the hobby, but a lot of times it is because, you know, the pipe smokers is passed and, you know, he's got all these estate sales that kind
right.
of, you know, they are these estate pipes that go up for sale. But I like to think and I like to hope that there's at least, you know, a couple of those pipes that are, yeah, are down, you know, that were you know, gifted to a son or
that's
an
exactly
heir of
right.
some kind.
Yeah.
You know, I can imagine too, you know, you get a little overwhelmed if, like, what was your large shipment that you have had of estate pipes?
Oh my goodness. When, Father Pat Smith,
yeah,
from Jackson, a local Catholic priest who's retired, he came in and we were able to, work out a deal with him to get his pipes. And, man, it was 175 pipes.
Yeah.
And they all had stories. And I, you know, me, the historian, I didn't have time to write them all down.
Yeah,
but
I know, right? Man, you can just write a book with some of these
incredible
collections.
Yeah, just fantastic. And I really encourage people, we'll leave this in just a sec, but I really encourage people when they smoke an estate pipe, man, this is the just geek in me, but when you smoke an estate pipe, remember that it's got a story.
Yeah.
Like, it was purchased by someone. It was a very personal item. It probably had a specific use or a certain time it was used, or things were done with it, you know, done while that pipe was being smoked that were important to whoever it was. Like, just remember that when you buy a estate pipe.
And that's absolutely true. Because some people might argue saying, like, well, you know, that's kind of crazy. You're kind of going a little bit too far with this. I mean, I just buy a pipe just my one pipe to smoke tobacco.
Right.
For most people like that, you typically smoke that pipe into the ground. Like, you're not
right.
you're not gifting that or wanting to resell it because you've smoked it so much.
Yeah.
And you know.
And that happens occasionally. But even you yourself, if you're smoking your pipe a lot, like doing that, you know, what are you doing when you're smoking that pipe? I mean, you're probably not just staring at the wall.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know. Anyway, it's something to think about. All right.
Question of the week.
Every woman knows the feeling, that quick glance over your shoulder in a parking lot, the moment you grip your keys a little tighter walking home. That's exactly why She's Birdie created Birdie 3.0, a personal safety alarm designed by women for women. Just pull the pin and Birdie sounds a loud, attention-grabbing siren. We are talking as loud as a jet engine at 100 feet to help deter danger and alert people nearby. And the new Birdie 3.0 is even better. It's rechargeable, includes a built-in flashlight, and features an on and off switch, so it activates only when you want it to. No embarrassing false alarms. It's small, non-violent, travel safe, and easy to clip to your keys, bag, or backpack, so it's always within reach. It's also super cute and comes in tons of colors to match basically any outfit, so you actually want to have it on you, because everyone deserves to feel safer. Learn more and get your Birdie 3.0 today at cheesebirdie.com.
Pipe question of the week this week comes to us from Polish X on Twitter. He says, best pipe lighter aside from matches, any suggestions? Now, I know you're a match guy.
I am a match guy. Okay, couple options here. If I'm outside in weather, I use a Zippo. Now, there are folks out there that think that's heresy because when they use a Zippo, they can get a little bit of that taste or whatever from maybe
from the oil.
Glimmer of the, you know, lighter fluid or
right.
something. Man, I just get over that. Like, a Zippo is fantastic, and that taste doesn't last long at all for me. But I have a huge fan on my front porch, and I can sit directly underneath that fan and strike that Zippo and have just a great smoke for a long time.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Zippos are fantastic for weather. I like them. If you want a soft flame lighter that uses butane, I'd go with a Zycar. Zycar nowadays are just, they're basically the gold standard of, you know, just anything. It's kind of, you know, I talk about different products being kind of the Honda Accord of something.
Sure.
But like, you know, Zycars are just like that. I mean, they're just, they're so consistent. Most of their products have lifetime warranties. So, and the one, I forget the model or whatever that it's called, but the one I like the most actually has a built-in temp and pipe tool and all that. And so just really handy. The action on it's real clean. It doesn't break easy. So anyway, I would go with maybe one of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's give some quick free advertising to our buddy that does pipe lighters.
Oh, man. Yeah. Dan, if you're listening, like, golly, Dan Wills is a great resource for this. So go to pipelighters. It's either .com or .net. I can't remember.
Let's double check if I'm going to give them free. It's free advertising. So
right.
But if we don't send them to the right place, it's no advertising.
That's right. But Dan, we have a friend, a local guy here that actually reviews pipe lighters and just has really, really enjoyed, you know, doing that. Actually smokes Faulkner Flake and is his preferred tobacco. But anyway, Dan does a great job of kind of picking out a variety of different products out there and then reviewing them. So yeah.
Absolutely.
He actually is a big friend of the Old Boy style too. Old Boys are great. I mean, they're awesome. You know, as far as just a real simple pipe lighter. Some people find them a little hard to strike, but if you, you know, I don't find it hard at all. I love them, and I think they're, you know, obviously really cool looking.
Yeah, absolutely. So pipelighters.net for
pipelighters.net.
That. Yeah. Well, very cool. Great question. We really appreciate getting those pipe questions in, especially from you today, Polish X. If you would like to send us a pipe question, you can tweet us or email us, csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the Squire.
Man, I don't know what it is. People are just coming to your rescue lately. I don't know if that means that they recognize that I'm better at quick fire questions or...
I think that's part of it.
I
think that's, they were like, they saw that one time where I tried to trip you up and they were like, no, we're done with that. We're bringing the big guns.
We're going to save Bo. That's what we're going to do.
That's right.
We do have some quick fire questions today that come to us from Bill P, who actually has got some listener feedback for us as well.
Man, let me read them for you, Bo, because this is geared towards you, baby.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, Bo, bank fishing or boat fishing?
Oh, okay. So preferably
right.
Boat fishing, but I mean, honestly, bank fishing.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a boat.
Well, you don't.
I want one. I really want to get a canoe, but I need to get a new car before I can get a canoe.
Boy, that'd be awesome.
yeah,
you do need a new vehicle.
That's a whole other story.
Let's do a quick starter on that. No, yeah, I'm just kidding.
Hey.
I mean, I have to go with boat fishing, but I mean, like you said, it's just a lot of trouble. And if you want to go out and smoke a pipe and be real quick about it, bank fishing is the way to go.
Yeah.
Live bait or artificial bait?
Got to go with live bait.
I
used to, I mean, I've got a lot of artificial bait, and you know, just because you never know.
Yeah.
And some days, you know, you've got some live bait, some days you don't. I'm really big on catching live bait in the wild. So we've got like our compost heap, and typically it's a great place to get worms.
Yeah.
And so typically if it's been raining, I'll just go out there, turn it over, and we can find a lot of really good worms.
That
I can
bring is out. So cool, man. Yep. I didn't realize that. I know you like to use live bait, but I didn't know you were getting a lot of it yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and my grandfather was really big on crickets.
Yeah.
But I can never do crickets because I can never, you know, hook them right.
Right.
So.
Right.
I'm all about the worms.
Poor little cricket.
Okay. I know. I always feel bad about that.
I like live bait, too. Bait caster or spinning reel?
Spinning reel. Yeah, spinning reel.
I think I have to go with bait caster.
Why is that?
I'm not exactly sure what both of these things are, but... fishermen out there are like horrified. Right now.
It's a little bit of a separation from my grandfather, who is big. He's a big bait caster, but
yeah.
No, I'm all about my spinning rod and reel.
Okay. The spinner is the one with the open face on it?
Yes.
Is that right? Okay, no, I don't, yeah, definitely a bait caster. No, I can't do that other thing.
Fair enough.
It always looks like that ball of yarn that, like, gets all tangled when I use it.
Well, if you knew what you were doing.
Yeah, which obviously I don't.
We need to go fishing, buddy. I'll show you a couple things.
Yeah, we did it that one time, and then I slipped on that rock and hurt my tailbone.
I forgot about that.
I was out for, like, 3 months. I mean, it was terrible.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I thought I had broken my sternum.
Yeah.
Or, no, that's my sacrum. Whatever that bone, whatever your tailbone is.
Yeah, I have no idea.
All right, catch and release or keep and devour?
Dude, I'm a big fan of keeping and devouring. I don't really like, this might be heresy to a lot of people, but I'm not really big on the concept of like sport fishing, sport hunting.
Yeah.
If I'm going to kill it, if I'm going to cause it pain, I'd rather kill it.
You want
it
to consume it.
Yeah, I want there to be a purpose behind it.
You died for a reason.
Exactly. So I don't know. Maybe that makes me a little weird or whatever, but I prefer I'm definitely more of a catch and eat. But at the same time, you know, we do have laws, so sometimes, you know, you have to throw it back just based on the size.
The size or the number.
And unfortunately, typically I'm throwing back way more than I want to because I cannot catch a big one worthwhile.
I'm a keep and eat guy myself.
Yeah.
All right, last one. Going old school with this one, Bill Dance or Jimmy Houston?
Do you know who these guys are?
I have no idea.
All right, so they've got fishing television shows, or they've each had fishing television shows.
Yeah, that's great.
I have no preference here because as much as I love fishing, I kind of see fishing television the same way I see Bob Ross, in that I love it, but I put it on Sunday so I can fall asleep.
Right.
So that's no preference. I guess if I've got to go with one, I might go with Bill Dance because he's kind of getting on up there.
Fair enough. I'll go with Jimmy Houston just to be different.
That'll work. And he writes, he finished his thanks for the great show. Man, we really appreciate that, Bill P. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you want to send in some quick fire questions and rescue JD on a weekly basis, please do. You can email.
Bo's actually begging you.
Kinda. You can email those CSR at podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
As I mentioned, Bill P. also wrote us an iTunes review. He said, "One of my favorite new weekly rituals is to catch up with JD and Bo on the Country Squire radio show. The production quality, in my humble opinion, is excellent. The pipes and tobacco discussion is educational and fun, and I enjoy the guys riff on the topics just as much as the pipe stuff. They mix it up with different kinds of shows, like their shop talk segments, and their contagiously happy tone always has me grinning and wishing I had a Southern accent. Congrats on the podcast, guys. Now that they are all here, I intend to get caught up on many back episodes."
That's great. Thanks, yeah. Bill P. Man, we have a lot of fun. I think our Southern accents are sweet.
Do I have one? I've for the longest time, I tried to suppress it, but at the same time, I think it just kind of comes through naturally.
I think you've got a little.
Not nearly as sophisticated as yours.
That's right, y'all come on down.
That's a parody of your own voice.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Anyway, good stuff. But we had a lot of great feedback, of course, throughout the episode with people sending in their stories and their experiences. Yeah. You know, one of the nice things is we got so much feedback along with kind of these origin stories. Y'all were also so kind to us and told us about, you know, how much you've enjoyed the show and how you've incorporated it into your weekly rituals. And, man, that just really makes us feel good.
It does. It really does. And we love, the more this show can get interactive with y'all, the better. Man, y'all are the reason we're here.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, I appreciate this.
I had a blast today. This was a lot of fun. Yeah, I love when we can interact with our listeners. It was a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, JD, man, let's go have a day.
Yeah, good to see you, Bo.
Every woman knows the feeling, that quick glance over your shoulder in a parking lot, the moment you grip your keys a little tighter walking home. That's exactly why She's Birdie created Birdie 3.0, a personal safety alarm designed by women for women. Just pull the pin and Birdie sounds a loud, attention-grabbing siren. We are talking as loud as a jet engine at 100 feet to help deter danger and alert people nearby. And the new Birdie 3.0 is even better. It's rechargeable, includes a built-in flashlight, and features an on and off switch, so it activates only when you want it to. No embarrassing false alarms. It's small, non-violent, travel safe, and easy to clip to your keys, bag, or backpack, so it's always within reach. It's also super cute and comes in tons of colors to match basically any outfit, so you actually want to have it on you, because everyone deserves to feel safer. Learn more and get your Birdie 3.0 today at cheesebirdie.com.